Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmans NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Good afternoon and welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus. I'm Rick Rickma, the hard-working mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage.
And we thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. We know there's a lot of things to do on a Saturday, especially Memorial Day weekend.
No, nothing's better than spending time with us.
That's true. That's true. That's why we're not doing this tomorrow, because we wanted people to watch the race.
Correct.
Yeah, we didn't want them to all be listening to us and not watching the race. I mean, the race is important around here. You know, it's funny how the race has changed. When I was growing up, it was a month long, and it was everything during the month of May.
Yeah, well, they somewhat tried to do that again, though. I mean, they've added a lot more races throughout the time and stuff. And now, I think the major thing was a sponsorship, is they weren't doing a lot of advertising. ABC, when they owned it, didn't do a lot of that. Now NBC owns it, and now they're doing a lot more advertising and stuff. So I think you'll see a lot more change.
Yeah, I hope so. And you know, now that it's owned, they sold it, and it's owned by Penske, and Penske... it seems like whatever he does works.
Yep. I mean, what is he trying to do? He's doing lights now. He wants to do lights so they can do NASCAR races at night.
I 100% agree with that. I love racing. I don't go to the Indy 500. I've been one time because I cannot handle the heat. Just it doesn't work for me. And the NASCAR race is like July or August. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the day, if you get that into a nighttime race where you can sit, you're not in the sun, I think that would be fantastic. I hope they do that. I'm for that. And I think they were trying to get money from the state or from Indiana. You know, it's one of those things where it's a big sporting event that they don't get anything, really, from what I hear from the state, where, you know, you get a big NBA team, NFL team, they just get handed money. Yet we have this huge event right here in Indianapolis. And I know we do things, like the police presence and all that, but it just seems like They've been a really good partner for Indianapolis and have brought in a lot of money without asking for very much. I want to talk about the first thing. It's because I read this, and it's one of those things that just irritate me to no end. It's one of my pet peeves. It's why I rarely watch any news. In fact, I would say I never watch news. I don't read news. I don't read the newspaper. I stay away from the news. Because what I have found is when I know something about what they're talking about, they're always wrong. And maybe always is too strong a word, but the vast majority of the time that I see it, it's wrong. And this article isn't 100% wrong. It is, they're trying to portray it, because it was in a real estate area. They're trying to portray it a little bit more positive, but the headline is a kind of mortgage that helped cause the housing crisis. The housing crash is surging in popularity. So they want you to read it, right? And yeah. Then it says, here's why it's different this time. And what they're talking about is an adjustable rate mortgage, what we call an ARM. And they were popular back in 2008. In fact, they hit a 14-year high back in 2008. It was the highest they had ever been. And so a lot of people blamed the crash on the ARM. The reason they did is because an ARM is an adjustable rate mortgage. It has a fixed piece and it has an adjustable piece. The fixed piece, is the lowest the rate's going to go. I'm being pretty basic here. And then the variable piece is how it changes all the time. And it's called a margin and an index. Okay, the margin is the fixed. The index is the variable. But what really happened, and they were ARM products, but they were non-conforming ARMs, meaning that most of these people did not qualify for a conforming product. They didn't have the credit. They didn't have the down payment. They didn't have the equity. Whatever it was, they didn't qualify under a conforming product. What I saw back then was most of them didn't have the credit. They had credit issues. But non-conforming, they would make the loan. The problem is that these loans had what's called a prepayment penalty. It's funny, today I get that question, you probably do too, all the time. Does this loan have a prepayment penalty? Well, on a conventional mortgage, you cannot have a prepayment penalty. Yeah. FHA, you cannot have a prepayment penalty. So when you're looking at a normal conventional, or you don't have prepayment penalties. The only time you have prepayment penalties in today's world is a non-conforming type product. And that is anything that's not conforming. You know, VA isn't going to have a prepayment penalty. They aren't allowed. So what happened was, is you would get a 2-1 arm, meaning that for the first 2 years it was fixed. After that, it could go up, and it might be able to go up 5%. Now, understand, they qualified these people at the base rate, and most of them barely qualified. 2 years later, the rate goes flying up. Additionally, and it goes up because that's the 2 years. But they had a prepayment penalty for 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. So before the arm adjusted, or after the arm adjusted, was when you the prepayment penalty went away. So it'd be maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years after the adjustment. That's what one of the biggest causes of the problem was, is that people could no longer afford the home, along with the fact that at that point in time, did houses go up or down?
No, houses dropped during 08.
Right, they dropped. What, they're not like today where they're flying up as fast as we've ever seen, right? Faster than they did back then. And you know, there's a lot of reasons we don't believe there's a problem in the market. But that's what happened. And so ARMs in and of themselves are not a problem. Conventional ARMs, if you're saving enough money, it can make a lot of sense right now to go with an ARM. For the last 3 years, 2 years, we didn't do any ARMs. It made no sense. Rates were so low that you couldn't save anything. In fact, most of the ARMs were more expensive. But in today's market, where rates have gone up some, if you can save a little bit and you believe that rates are going to go down in the near future, okay, so let's say you take a 7-year ARM. So it's fixed for 7 years. And you believe in that next 7 years, rates are going to go down and below where they are today, or even just stay the same as where they are today, it might make sense to do an ARM for you. You just have to look at it and see if it makes sense. It's one of those things that we'd want to talk about. Again, as we tell everybody, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. At the top, there's a contact us. Hit the contact us, and it gives you our information, and you can send us a message from the website, and then we'll get back with you. So again, hardworkingmortgageguys.com, hardworkingmortgageguys.com. Hit the contact us, and we will get back to you. So the bottom line, Ian, is ARMs in and of themselves are not a bad product. They can be a phenomenal product for the right situation. No mortgage or no, there's no one right answer for everybody. We have to understand the situation, yep. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So that is really, so when you see that, when you see these articles out there, just don't take what they say as the gospel, because many times
there's more to the story.
Yes, especially if all you do is read the headline, which I think is the biggest problem. A lot of times the articles clear it up a little bit, but most of us are busy and we read the headlines and we don't dig into the article. But then a lot of times the articles are just flat out wrong. I'm sorry, they're just wrong. So it's really hard when they're just wrong. You know, with that, you had a good idea about talking about our, you know, the experiences that we've had and our customers have had, and what they might do or change, or what they wish they had known or not known as they're looking at either buying a house, or, you know, what's going to happen through that process, and what they wish they had known.
I mean, just like as you and I were briefly talking before this, we were talking about, think about things that you do for the first time. So if you're building a table, you did it for the first time, it takes you 3 or 4 times longer. Well, you do that 2 or 3 more times, guess what? You worked out all the kinks. You know exactly what to do. You know the ins and the outs. And it's the same thing with a mortgage. The first time you did a mortgage, you don't know everything. I mean, when I first did one, all I was pictured in my mind was a 30-year conventional. I didn't want to pay PMI because I didn't want to pay the interest on it, and I thought that was totally anti. I was totally anti PMI. So I waited till I had 20%, and then I went and got a house. But thinking back, I did it the wrong way. I could have done things so much different and had a house a lot sooner and had more equity and everything prior to even where I am now. So what that's what brought up the whole conversation is, what do people learn later that they wish they would have known before? And I think one of the main things is when I did a mortgage, they automatically quoted me a 30-year. I mean, in my mind, I thought a 30-year was great anyways. But did you know you can go 25-year? Did you know you could do a 20? Did you know that, just like you were talking, there right now an ARM might be the best way for you? But without those options, or you knowing, hey, maybe I should ask that guy that question, you may not know.
Yeah, and you know what you said is absolutely spot on to me. Is especially in our business today, we tend to quote 30-year fixed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the vast majority. That's what most people want. That's what everybody talks about. That's what we tend to quote. But there are a lot of other products out there that may be better fits. That's why we try so hard to ask a bunch of questions, find out what somebody's really. What it really is they're after, because a 30-year fix might be right, and it's probably the best mortgage for most people. But there's other options out there that could be better. So it does make a lot of sense to understand that, you know, what's there, what's available, and what's the benefits and what's the negatives of those products, so you can make a good, honest decision and feel good about that, not question it later on that, hey, maybe I made a mistake. You know, we're coming up to a break, so after the break, we're going to talk about more of, you know, what questions should you have, or what should you think about when you're, and what do you need to know when you're looking at doing a mortgage?
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hardworking mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it very much. I'm Rick Rittma, the hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage.
We thank you so much for joining us today. We do appreciate it. We were talking about, you know, what people wish they knew before they buy a house, something that
Wait, Rick. You're forgetting the most important thing about this whole entire thing.
What is it?
It's the sponsorship by Debt Crusher Mortgage that we do that does our question of the week.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I didn't read the script very well, did I?
That's all right.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
All right, so last week's question was, I add 6 to 11 and get 5. Why is this correct? I'll let you think about that for a second while I read this. Brought to you by the Debt Crusher Mortgage, improving your life by relieving the stress of debt. Now, if we can get our government to call us, we can knock out that national debt. Well, maybe not all of it. That's quite a bit high. Go to debtcrushermortgage.com today and talk to Rick or me about the relieving your debt stress. So the question was, I add 6 to 11 and I get 5. Why is that correct? Well, you got to stop and think. Don't think of it as numerical numbers. Think of it as a clock. If you have 11 and you add 6 to it, it's now 5 o'clock. All right. So ready for.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I just thought it was somebody couldn't add.
That'd be really difficult for us if we couldn't do that.
Yeah.
All right. So the new one is, I am an odd number. Take away a letter and I become even. What am I? So, Rick, let's get back to the whole questions we have, or questions or things that we could learn. So the other thing that it really hit me is, I did my mortgage. I think at my first mortgage, when it was, my payments were like $650. I was like, awesome, easily done. I can easily add more if I want to pay more to the principal. Great. Well, a year down the road, I get a new payment booklet. Now my payment jumped up. It was like $30 or $40. It jumped up.
You were on a fixed rate mortgage.
I was on a fixed rate, 30-year fixed. And I'm like, whoa, what happened? And So I call the guy. I'm like, hey, what's going on here? I thought I was on a fixed one. I mean, I've been on fixed ones with my cars. Guess what? Every payment exactly the same until I paid it off. And then he broke it down. It was like, oh, well, your escrow can change. And what is escrow? Escrow is your taxes and insurance. So if you put that in perspective, so if your house value goes up, your taxes go up. So every year, if your taxes go up, your payment could go up a little bit. So it's something to definitely keep in mind.
Now, were you surprised when you bought a house at the amount of money you actually needed for closing, not just down payment, but...
Yeah, I mean, because everybody's, like with me, it was, oh, you need 20% down. Awesome. All right, well, if I have I'm looking at a $200,000 house, 20% down, that's $40,000, done. Well, then it's, oh, well, now you need to pay 1 year advance for
home insurance.
And then you need to pay so much for taxes. Well, if you take home insurance, that adds up pretty quick when you're prepaying for a year. It's not like you paid a couple months.
Well, you prepay for a year, then you have to add a couple more months. If it's $100 a month, you're at $1,400, 12 plus 2.
Yep.
Then you have your property taxes, which depending on when it's due is how much we have to collect.
Correct.
Right? And then you have prepaid interest.
Mm-hmm.
So interest from the day you close on a purchase till the end of the month, or for most lenders, there are lenders out there that will charge you for from the day you close on a refinance, but it should be from the day you fund, but they double dip. And we do it from the day you fund till the end of the month. And then you can have other expenses along with all that. So you have to really watch and understand. There's homeowners association dues. If you have PMI, you might have some additional. So it is more money than just your down payment.
Correct.
And I know for me, it was somewhat of a surprise. I was like you. I thought, I have a fixed rate mortgage. My mortgage is going to be the same. But taxes and insurance change. And so your payment can go up, your payment can go down. And it really gets difficult or surprising to somebody who buys a brand new home. Because in a brand new home in Indiana, we pay taxes in arrears. Mm-hmm. So the brand new home was being paid, taxes were being paid as a lot, not as any improvements. So a year and a half, 2 years, 2.5 years later, your taxes all of a sudden go from $50, $75 a month to $200, $300 a month, and you're behind. So, and you also probably just got a whole bunch of money from the lender because your escrow had too much money in it. And per federal law, we have to do an escrow analysis, and it says, oh, you got too much money. We send it all back. And then 3 months later, you get a thing saying, hey, you owe us all this money because we're short on escrow. So it is that can be a shock to people also.
Yeah, that'd be a huge shock. Oh, now you owe $3,000. What? Hold on.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and it's due to taxes and how the taxes in Indiana work. We're a little different than most. Now, you said you avoided PMI, but PMI isn't always bad, is it?
No, I just had the mental attitude, basically, that I didn't want to pay for something that I knew I was going to make payments on anyways. I mean, I understand the reason why it's there. It's to help banks so people foreclose. But look, I knew I was going to make my payment. My mortgage payment was going to be cheaper than what I was renting. So it wasn't going to be hard for me to make that payment. It was just my mental aptitude that I just didn't want to do it. But as we were saying, it's one of those things that if you're having to pay, let's say, $100, let's just use that, and for PMI a month, is it a really bad thing? Not necessarily, because just like I just said, I was paying more in rent than I was going to pay in my mortgage. So even if you add the extra $100, I was still saving money. So, and then I have a house that I'm paying the principal down on, and the house is hopefully gaining equity. So I'm gaining value. I'm gaining more money in the long run. And if I would have done that 5 years ago, I would be in a whole different predicament than I am now.
Right. But let's clarify why PMI is in existence. PMI is private mortgage insurance. Now, if you do an FHA mortgage, it's called MIP, mortgage insurance premium. That's because it's not private. It's basically the same thing. So it's mortgage insurance. That's what we're talking about. Back many, many years ago, when people wanted to finance homes. First of all, there were no fixed rate mortgages. They were all done by the local banks. There was no Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, FHA, none of that. And the banks wouldn't loan more than 20%. So if you have, if you're trying to buy a $400,000 home and you only have $20,000, you can't buy a home because you have to have 20% down, right? Yeah. Well, private mortgage insurance came in and said, hey, we'll insure that mortgage. This is a good borrower. We feel comfortable. We'll insure that mortgage for an insurance pay. This is, it's just insurance. It's no, it's not much different than you buy life insurance. You buy life insurance in the hopes that you don't have to use it, right?
Correct.
But you want it because you want your family protected. This allows somebody to get into a home much sooner. Now, that can be a huge bonus, especially when homes are appreciating at 18% a year, 19% a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you keep saving and it keeps gets farther and farther away. So private mortgage insurance, nobody likes to pay it because nobody likes to pay insurance until they need it. The difference is that when you need it for a mortgage, it doesn't really benefit you as much as it does the lender. But it allowed you to get the house. It allowed you to borrow the money. That is the advantage of private mortgage insurance. So it is, although nobody wants to pay it, I wouldn't look at it as it's the worst thing in the world. And you can, you know, hopefully quickly, especially at high appreciation rates, get out of it very quickly. It takes a couple of years, but you can get out of it.
So here's another one that we see a lot more when we do somebody refinance somebody that we didn't do their prior one is different lenders have different closing costs. So some people will shop around and call four or five different places and price out their closing costs. There are other people that will just take the first one, think that that is what it is, and go on. And we've seen that quite a bit. I mean, we've done refinances and people are like, whoa, your closing costs are only this? Whoa, this is like half of what I did the first time. And they're like, oh, no. So then we have to break it down for people. And people just don't understand that closing costs are not standard. So,
right.
Which is nice is with us, we have one of the lowest closing costs in Indiana, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so, our closing costs are very low,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's lender fees, and then there's title fees, and there's appraisal. And the title fees, we don't control that,
yeah.
right? We don't control what the appraisal costs.
And what are title fees for people out there?
Title fees are, you have title insurance, you have a closing fee, they have the exam, title exam. There's a variety of them. That's just a few of them. There's a few of them. And just like anything on a mortgage, there's some title companies that charge a whole bunch. I think it's gone now, but they used to have a fax fee. Really, like it costs $75 to fax something, right? Now it's probably an email fee. And they'll even have when they fund the loan, if you want it wired, they'll have a wire fee.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, you know, there are fees there, but that's not controlled by the lender.
No.
And what you have to look at is, additionally, it's not all about those costs. Those costs are important, but it's about the entire deal.
Correct.
What's your interest rate? How long are you locking? There's a lot that goes into that. You have to find a lender that you can trust, because that's the other thing. When you're out shopping for a loan, let's say you're going to do a pre-qualification or a pre-approval, you're out shopping for a loan, you talk to somebody, and they quote you a rate. Well, they can quote you anything because you don't have a house yet. They can't lock it, right?
Yeah, so that's the nice thing we do is we try to make sure that we give you the accurate rate. We don't want to give you something that was good a week ago. We also don't want to try to give you something that we project a week from now.
Right.
So we try to give you what today. Now, again, if you wait to tell us to lock in a week, things can change. But we notify you. We keep you up to date, which is awesome. What we both do.
We give them a rate accurate at the time.
Correct.
Based on the information that we have. If we haven't run credit, we don't have all the right information. We're based off of what they're telling us. If you know the debt to income ratio we may or may not have, the credit score we may or may not have, the loan to value, you know, we probably have a good idea of that. But there's a lot of that we don't necessarily know 100%. So we're just giving them the best we can at the time. But it's going to be accurate based on that time. And then also, your rate can change by how long you need to lock it in. 30 days, 45 days, 15 days, 60 days, 120 days. What do you need, right?
Yep.
That can change it also. But what about the difference between a pre-qual and a pre-approval? I think that's important to talk about because there's a variety of, the pre-qual, I don't do pre-quals. I just, to me, it's not enough information. I need enough information to give a letter, a pre-approval letter that says they can buy a house. Nobody wants to go out with a pre-qualification letter that says they can buy a house, but credit hasn't been pulled. You don't know their debt-to-income ratio. You don't know really their assets and that you haven't gotten their bank statement. You just don't know enough. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to get a pre-approval letter, not a pre-qualification. Also in this market, if you were selling your house and you had 10 offers and you had three of them that were pre-qualification letters and seven with the pre-approval letters, what would you do with the pre-qual letters?
Straight to the trash can.
That's right. You aren't even going to look at that option, right? There's not an agent that's going to look at that. So that is not even going to matter. It's not going to benefit the customer. They need a pre-approval letter.
All right, so as our time is winding up, so we definitely want to let people know we have a Father's Day special going on for the weekend of Father's Day. So if you are a father and you've been wondering what to talk about your kids, no matter what ages, about credit, about looking down a house, all that stuff, and you don't know how to do it, sit down with them on the phone or on the radio, not really on the phone, and listen to us, and we'll go through everything with you.
Yep. I think it's going to be awesome. I thank you for bringing that up. If you have any questions, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And we thank you so much for joining us, and you have a great weekend.